present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and June Whitfield in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitating, without deviating, and without... I've forgotten the third rule. Without repeating themselves. We're going to begin the show this week with Peter Jones. And Peter, the subject is attack. Can you tell us something about that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
I think it was Marshal Foch in the First World War who sent the message to Clemenceau, "My centre is crumbling, my right is in retreat, situation excellent, I attack." Presumably, he believed that this was the best form of defence. And I suppose by the same token, if we dropped hydrogen bombs on every other nation of the world and more or less annihilated them, we could claim that we were defending ourselves in the best possible way. Now, this is a philosophy that I don't personally subscribe to, because they're very dangerous things to start throwing around, and annihilating other people isn't necessarily a way to get the export market really functioning at the maximum rate. Now, I would like us all to make a reappraisal of this ancient saw: it's better to attack than defend. It must be a minute, mustn't it? I mean, it's a boring...
Clement Freud has come to your rescue. Oh, yes. Clement, you challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
It clearly wasn't a minute.
Well, many different forms of deviation were available there. Yes, Clement, correct challenge, and you will have a point for that, of course, and there are 6 seconds left, so you take over the subject of attack, starting now.
I think Peter Jones was absolutely correct, and defence and attack are very similar. Health and sickness...
Well, the whistle which is blown by Ian Messiter tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever's speaking at that moment gets an extra point. It was Clement Freud, and he has 2 points at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you begin the round with "My Friend's Aunt"? That is the subject, and will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
It's what the French call la plume de ma tante de mon ami, and very useful that sort of thing is, because it instantly allows you to gauge the sex of your friend, which would be totally different in
Kenneth
this language.
Williams has challenged.
I thought it was hesitation.
Yes, I think you were right, Kenneth, yes. And you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of "My Friend's Aunt." And there are 46 and a half seconds left, starting now.
"I did indeed have a friend who had a most colourful character, whom he referred to as his aunt, who always told us of this exhilarating trip she'd had on a bullock cart coming from Dawlish. Now, I thought to myself that it was a load of old codswallop, but you had to let her go on, because she had, as they always say, the dignity of old age, and let that never be deprecated, at least not from my mouth, which has always been known to utter only the loveliest things about anybody's aunts, or indeed uncles, if it comes to that. But let us hope it doesn't.
Peter Jones has challenged. Peter.
He's talking about uncles now, and not his friend's aunt.
Yes, I agree. He went off. He said, if it comes to that...
He's just getting in on the last few seconds. Don't you see, Nicholas?
Yes,
don't you see his ploy? He's just trying to win. It's so obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's dying to hear me. He's dying. Look at her. She's gone white.
And it's so obvious that you and nobody else in the game wants to win. Peter, I agree with your challenge, so you take over the subject. There are 6 seconds left. My friend's aunt, starting now.
What a sweet old lady she was. She wore a poke bonnet, which was singularly apt, really, because in her...
Well, just to remind you, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains that extra point. It was, on this occasion, Peter Jones. And, Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? The subject is stimulating the dozy ones. I'm sure in your professional career you've done plenty of that, Kenneth, but will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
The most essential thing is to feed the phagocytes. Get them going until the adrenaline is ablaze with activity. I think acting, so to speak, as an intellectual mosquito...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, I'm getting in at the beginning, for a start, and actually... the adrenaline's got nothing to do with stimulating the phagocytes.
It has everything to do with it.
But the subject is stimulating the dozy ones.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you're familiar with the subject.
Yeah, so it's a pity that you're not. What is the challenge, Peter? What is
deviation. Deviation.
No, I think what he was trying to convey to me, anyway, what I got was that he was...
You mean it's a secret between you two?
He was talking about the dozy ones, and some of the phagocytes can be dozy on occasions.
No, so. He was talking about adrenaline.
Yes, we've got on to... What is your challenge, June?
How does Kenneth know that the dozy ones are necessarily phagocytes?
Well, it's like an impersonation of Queen Victoria.
Kenneth, I've decided that you keep
deviation.
I decide that you keep the subject, and there are 46 seconds on stimulating the dozy ones starting now.
And, of course, the way to do this is essentially to outdo any old rutted bigotry. You see, outmaster, so to speak. The old habitual sway.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Three olds, repetition.
Yes, two.
Oh,
three.
Was there? Ah, yes. That was very well listened.
Yes. There are 27 seconds left for you, Clement, on the subject now of stimulating the dozy ones, starting now.
Politically, this is known as being elevated to the House of Lords, and a very good thing it is, too, because there are, admittedly, in that establishment, some phagocytes known as gay Irish people, but by and large, they are kindly peers, marquises, dukes, lords of all descriptions, including Viscounts.
June Whitfield has challenged.
Slight repetition of lords.
Yes, indeed there was. And June, you have a point for that.
House of Lords.
And the subject now, stimulating the dozy ones, 5 seconds are left, starting now.
Best stimulation of the dozy ones I ever heard was Jimmy Edwards saying, "Wake up at the back there."
Well, at the end of that run, Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams are equal in the lead, 1 point ahead of Peter Jones and June Whitfield, who are only 1 point behind. Incredible. I didn't... You know, it's amazing the things you learn in just a minute when you're chairman. June Whitfield, will you begin the next round? The subject is fairgrounds. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Every year, where I live, a fair comes to the common about Whitsun time, and for many, many years I have taken my...
Many years. It is repetition of the words, and there are 49 seconds for fairgrounds, Kenneth, starting now.
Oh, many's the time I've done the coconut shies and slid down on the matting on that huge tower and the whip. Oh, when I get on that, oh, I feel so incredibly thrilled. I could do it again and again if I had the...
Clement Freud.
Well, he can't.
Yeah, you can. No. You can't go round and round or many, many
times.
Well,
I do love that whip thing. Oh, the thought of it, though.
Do
oh,
you
it gets
really?
Me going, you know.
After I've been round a couple of times, I come off feeling quite ill. Clement Freud, you have 29 seconds for the subject of fairgrounds, starting now.
I'm really very fond of fairgrounds, although I don't care too much about the whip, mainly because of masochism and my family, known as the Performing Freuds, who hate that sort of thing in any shape or form. In Southwold, we have a fair which comes every year, and there are 8 characters who take part, and in... All sorts of different things.
I think so, Kenneth, yes. There are 7 seconds for fairgrounds with you now, Kenneth, starting... Standards.
When I get on the whip, if I've got enough coins, I say, let's have another go. I can't wait to have another go.
What? You've had another go, and I think you've made a mistake.
What was it?
Repetition of whip, I'm afraid.
Honest?
Yes, what you started off by saying about the whip and...
Well, I'm trying to give the whip a plug, because I think it would get people's adrenaline going, you see.
So it stimulates the dozy ones too, doesn't it? Yes. And Clement, you got in first with your challenge. There are 5 seconds fairgrounds starting now.
Rolling a penny has suffered grievously with metrication, because the size of the coin is now...
So Clement Freud was in speaking when the whistle went, and he gained that precious extra point, and he's taken a lead, 1 ahead of Kenneth Williams. June Whitfield, Peter Jones are trailing a little. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, competition. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I'm actually against it quite a lot of the time. I think it's sometimes counterproductive in terms of human happiness. And if, for instance, you take a race in which 12 people take part, 11 of them are doomed from the beginning to be losers. So that by working it out...
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
I thought it was hesitation.
Yes, yes, you would be right.
Another loser.
And precisely, yes, exactly.
Oh, very well put, my friend. Oh, very well. Oh, very well observed. Oh, yes. I like that. Very nice.
Kenneth... Yeah. Keep it for the contest. There are 42 seconds on competition starting now.
Well, I don't agree with my learned colleague opposite. I think these things can be very thrilling. Indeed, we're all excited, aren't we, when we're seeing chariot races and all kinds of feats of physical daring. I think it does get the old adrenaline flowing, and if you're lucky enough to get on the whip in the fairground, then you really feel yourself rising in your seat as the excitement mounts in your body, and you think, well, I'll be the first. Will I make a record? It can be done.
June Whitfield, a chance.
Repetition of Will I?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did accidentally.
Got well away from competition. You got back onto the whip in the third round. There are 14 seconds, June, on competition starting now.
I was going to say how very much I admired Kenneth Williams and the way he does rabbit on so, and really I don't enjoy competition because I always want everybody else to win. But as this is a game in which one has to compete, I suppose I must...
Well, Joan Whitfield competed well then, kept going to the whistle, and is still in third place. Second place now, because our two leaders are equal, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is my poppadoms. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
I like to eat my poppadoms with basil and rosemary. But when basil and rosemary don't turn up, it's incredibly difficult because one loses weight hand over fist. And if anybody had any sense, they would have realized that I repeated two herbs which I gave proper names to.
June Whitfield,
it's too late now. You can't do
it. Is it too late now?
It's never too late.
You did repeat basil and
never
rosemary.
Too late.
Yes,
and
I didn't want to interrupt.
Well, 2 months ago, when she was here, she repeated something and I didn't...
I know, but that was the first time she played the game.
But I was also going to say...
But she's not challenging you for something you did 2 months ago.
Fine.
I know.
She's challenging you for something you did just a few moments ago.
And June has only been playing the game a very short time. And he, on the other hand, had been playing it for so long that I feel he needs
more
charity.
Ah, but that was June in April, wasn't it?
Yes. Now it's June in December, isn't it? Yes.
Never well, mind. Listen, it's may be as it will. That's...
Oh, no.
Oh, ho. No. Collapse of
Do you like to go again?
No. Clement Freud gave himself away. You picked up the cue and you have a correct challenge, June. So the subject is my poppadoms and there are 42 seconds left starting now.
My poppadoms could never compete with Clement Freud's. I buy mine in a packet. I heat the oil. I put them in the pan and fry them for 2 seconds on each side, turning them over until...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, repetition of them several times.
Yes, yeah, I'm afraid there was a lot of thems, a lot of I's. But Peter, correct challenge, and there are 25 seconds, my poppadoms, starting now.
Well, my poppadoms is quite a good phrase for the double entendre. You can get quite a few laughs if you use it skillfully.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of quite.
Yes, you did say quite, I must say.
Quite twice?
Quite twice, yes.
Oh.
Right. There are 18 seconds, my pompadoms, Clement, starting now.
It is a little-known culinary or gastronomic fact that lentil flour is an almost essential ingredient of poppadoms.
Peter Jones.
Everybody in India knows this. That's a lot of people.
Yes, and so it cannot therefore be a little-known fact. A
no,
good challenge,
quite.
Peter. There are 9 seconds
also
on my pompadoms.
Untrue, which is why two people
starting
know.
For instance...
It's untrue, he just said it's a gag. And he fell for it, so everyone in India knows it.
Peter Jones, I don't know what they're rabbiting on about over there. But there are 9 seconds of my pompadoms starting now.
The detective says, I'm going to take down your particulars. And the girl says, I want to see your credentials. Now,
Clement Freud challenges.
What?
Two scissors.
Yes, I'm afraid
he says,
two
and she says.
Well,
and what was the payoff to this story?
Well, I'm not going to tell you now.
So, Clement, you lose the subject, and it means that you get another point when you get it back again. 3.5 seconds, my pompadoms, starting now.
Perhaps the best Indian restaurant I know doesn't serve them.
Well, Clement Freud has gone into a lead on his own at the end of that round, with the extra point as well for speaking as the whistle went, ahead of June Whitfield, but she's now equal with Kenneth Williams, and Peter Jones is 1 point behind those two. And, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Thomas Hardy. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
I suppose it's in a novel like Far From the Madding Crowd that the spirit of Wessex and that extraordinary flavour the man allowed to permeate his books comes through most vividly in the work of Thomas Hardy. His accusers, and there were many regarding the epitaph he chose for Tess of the D'Urbervilles, where the line is, the president of the immortals had finished his sport with Tess. And atheism was levelled at
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of Tess.
Yes, you said Tess of the D'Urbervilles, I'm afraid.
Well, you can't say the title of the book without it, can you? You should be a great nit. What chairman are you to give a ruling like that when I was in the middle of a very learned
probably
discourse?
If I was...
learned discourse, wasn't it? Learned. Yes. Go on, say it was.
Yes.
Bash your faces in.
In that case, he didn't repeat Tess.
So, Clement, you had a correct challenge on Tess, and there are 23 seconds left for Thomas Hardy, starting now.
I'm never quite sure why Thomas Hardy denied so strongly and so frequently that Dorchester was not, in fact, Casterbridge, when everybody knew that it was. And the mayor of that town in Wessex is, I think, one of my favourite characters in any novel which he wrote, because he is an enormously worldly man, one who was loved by...
Well, Thomas Hardy helped Clement Freud to go even further ahead in the lead. And June Whitfield, your turn to begin the subject, nursery rhymes. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such fun, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Jack Sprat could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. And so between them both, you see...
Kenneth Williams.
We've had two could eats.
Yeah, we're all waiting for one repetition. Right. Yes,
and two could eats there, you see.
Yes. The two diddles. I was giving it a little... I was going to challenge towards the end.
That was kindness.
Yes, we're going to see her. That's obviously the reason she was going so slowly. She was listening for repetition. Kenneth picked it up.
Hey, diddle echo.
41 seconds on nursery rhymes with you, Kenneth, starting now.
One of the most charming is, darling, I am growing older, silver threads among the gold.
Peter Jones is charming.
That's not a nursery rhyme.
No, I would agree
it
with you,
Peter. It's not charming either. Not
so,
at your age.
Peter, you now have the subject, and there are 29 seconds on nursery rhymes starting now.
I never liked them very much when I was a child, because apart from being far-fetched, they left one hanging in the air, waiting to hear what actually happened after the plate had absconded with the spoon. And similarly, after little Miss Muffet had experienced this awful business of the spider coming down beside her, nothing apparently happened. You know, it was just left like a Harold Pinter play without being resolved. And
you would feel challenged.
Yes, I would challenge, because it was resolved. It frightened Miss Muffet away.
I know, but where to?
But you could say that about anything. It doesn't have to actually go right
it wasn't
through
rounded
to where
off.
Miss
I don't
Muffet
think it was
went.
Well constructed. I don't think Bernard Levin would have liked it.
I think it's one of those impossible things to give a decision on whether they are resolved or rounded off. So let me leave this to the superior judgment and wisdom of our delightful audience here. You cheer for her, and you boo if you disagree for Peter Jones, and you all do it together now. They've a glued for June Whitfield. June, you have 1 second on nursery rhymes starting now.
Little Jack Horner.
Well, June Whitfield was speaking with a whistle when she's in second place now, equal with Kenneth Williams, just behind Clement Freud, and Peter Jones just behind them. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, gruntling. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, this is a sound that pigs make in the country or anywhere else if they are...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
He's bound to say grunt, grunt. I wanted to get in early.
All that happens is you fail to get him for repetition. So, Peter, you have another point and there are 50...
I warned him though, didn't I?
55 and a half seconds on gruntling starting now.
And it means that they're reasonably happy or gruntled. So that, you know...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, it's all you know her.
I know, he was very disgruntled, wasn't he? He couldn't get anywhere at all. So, Kenneth, you have a correct challenge for hesitation, and there are 48 seconds on gruntling starting now.
Really, it's to do with accommodating people so that their feelings are, so to speak, satisfied. And, of course, gruntling should be an essential part of all social intercourse. The first aim when we greet our guest should be that of gruntling him or her as the case may be, and so lull their senses as though they breathed upon a bank of violets coming from the sky.
I beg your pardon. How dare you? Somebody shouted, oh, did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
I've not come all the way from Great Portland Street to be insulted.
This is great. Her or her?
I can't remember.
Oh.
Have June. I lost the subject?
I don't know. June Whitfield, what's your challenge?
It? No, I dropped off and I fell on my button. I'm sorry.
That's probably what they said when they said her. They meant June Whitfield. Look at her. So, Kenneth, it was an incorrect challenge. And if you can keep us awake now with another 19 seconds on gruntling, starting now.
Well, of course, we do think of the farm, and I remember...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of course.
Yeah. Yes, I'm afraid you did say of course before. Peter, you have the subject back, and there are 17 seconds gruntling, starting now.
Make your way into Wiltshire, where some of the healthiest pigs live. And if you can find a field with a big tree which offers considerable shade from the sun if you happen to be there in the summer, or a shelter of some kind.
Well, it's a very close contest this week. Only 1 point separates all our four contestants in this order: June Whitfield, Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud, working upwards, that is. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, hanging on to your money. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I suppose it's possible to hang on to your money, although in the process you might find yourself in parlous circumstances indeed. On the other hand, taking it as a colloquialism, we must assume it means those with miserly dispositions. Now, I know quite a few who have got
June Whitfield has challenged.
Why must we assume that it's those with miserly dispositions?
Well, we don't have to assume it, but he was saying that in
his opinion... No, but he said we must assume that it is those... I'm just trying to pick up the thread.
I said as a colloquialism we must assume.
It's a fascist.
Hanging on to his money. Yes. Me.
I don't intend to challenge him on this subject because I feel he is an authority. He knows more about it.
It's very difficult to be fair here. We've just had a message that it'll be the last round and Kenneth Williams is 1 point behind our leader. I think, actually, June, to be fair...
We must assume.
No, we mustn't assume. But,
he said we must.
He wasn't therefore deviating from the subject on the card. That is his opinion and he likes to assume that, so that is all right.
He keeps
the subject of hanging on to your money. There are 33 seconds left, starting now.
I must say I bitterly resent those remarks from Peter Jones, obviously inferring that I am not lavish, whereas he's got a burglar alarm on his dustbin. I can tell you things about him. I can tell you things about him, make your hair curl. He got his purse out once and the moths were in the bar. Weren't they? Oh, yes, whereas I am open-hearted.
Jim Whitfield has challenged you.
Oh, she's challenged me again. She's got a nerve. I don't know why they have women on this show. I really don't. What's she on about now?
Well, the burglar alarm in Peter Jones's dustbin has got nothing to do with hanging on to your money.
Oh, sorry.
So,
I had a quick flash from the chairman then.
And on radio, that's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
So, June, you have 14 and a half seconds on hanging on to your money, starting now.
I think it's utterly impossible for anybody to hang on to their money in these hard times. It is one of the facts...
I think she's just slowing down deliberately. I think she's got no patience. I don't think you should have women on this show. I don't think it's right. I think you should have all male show.
I think she's doing a very good impersonation of Kenneth Williams. So I disagree with your challenge, because she has 6 seconds on hanging on to your money, June, starting now.
How kind, Nicholas. Hanging on to your money is a phrase, as I have said before, I think.
No, Peter Jones' challenge just before. Peter,
repetition,
yes?
Repetition, because you said she'd said it before. There must be repetition.
Is it repetition?
She did repeat the phrase, said it before, yes. Peter Jones, you have 1/10 of a second on hanging on to your money, starting now. Well, we have indeed come to the end of this round of Just a Minute. Let me give you the final score. June Whitfield, once again, did extremely well. She finished, actually, you'll be surprised to hear, only in second place. 3 points behind, believe it or not, are three joint winners, our three regular panellists, Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud, our winners this week. Well, you can't have a fairer result than that, because they all contribute so much to the game. And that's what it's all about, the amount we enjoy the game, and which we hope you enjoyed equally as much. We hope that also you'll want to tune in again at the same time next week, when Kenneth Williams, if he can calm down now, might save a little for next week. And so will our other regulars and our guests. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.